So they ruined the NBA finals. The fucking Rockets. I was 13 years old. This was my first time seeing a team that I had been growing up watching play sports. And it was, I don't remember what game, but I'm over at my buddy Alex's house. And they fucking cut to this bullshit for half the game. If you watch the OJ Simpson, whatever the fuck, 30 for 30, they talk about it the whole time. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking remember because I was pissed off. I was on Richard Street watching that fucking game. And then they cut to fucking Bob Costas in the earpiece. Like, oh, we got to go to the Bronco. And it was a fucking hour. The Rockets game is like how small my screen is on Zoom right now while they're fucking showing OJ on the freeway. The fuck?
I'll end on my favorite OJ fact. When he committed that murder, like just a few weeks prior to the murder, I had done a book report on OJ Simpson in fifth grade. And I made a poster with OJ Simpson. And I like went to great trouble to find pictures of him from like the Buffalo Bills days, which was very fucking hard without the internet. And so we had like this poster of OJ on the wall in our classroom for like weeks after he had been arrested and like the murder investigation was underway and the teacher didn't ever take it down. She probably should have taken that thing down.
My new headcanon is that you made him do it.
This is a podcast about the hardcore community.
Made by and for those who live authentic lives and embrace hard truths.
We archive the stories of the bands and people who make this lifestyle possible. I'm Josh Lyon.
And I'm Greg Benoit.
And this is the Hardcore Archive Podcast.
Because I got to ask about Connor's drumming skills. Does he like play drums in any other bands, or did he have like a whole lot of drum experience prior to just switching over to drums?
So kind of. He and I, kind of the way Selfish Act started is Connor and I played in a band before, and he was a drummer in that. The transition to bass for this. So he had
Yeah. And when did he start looking like Ned Flanders?
Always.
No, he didn't have the mustache for the past few months.
I'm not going to lie. Even since I started working with him, I just kind of assumed he came out like that from birth.
Yeah. Well, it's a good look because if that band Oakley Dokley reforms, he could like join them as a bass player or a drummer.
Hey, we don't want to give him any ideas here. We have to keep this going.
All right. Well, get a pink polo and wear it under a green sweater and you got yourself a Halloween costume there, Connor. All right. Welcome back to Connor Talk with Greg Owen and Griffin. We're here to talk about Connor. So I wanted to ask you guys, Mike came up to me at a show and told me we need to have Selfish Act on because you guys are a hot band coming out of Buffalo. But he also indicated, and maybe I'm confusing you guys with someone else, but he also said a couple of you are like second generation like Buffalo hardcore dudes. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so myself and David are, our parents are all in, I mean, still into hardcore, but we're really big into it in the late 80s and early 90s. I grew up listening to like ZT and Snapcase, so it's always been around me.
Oh, that's fucking wild. So like when did they start going to shows? Did they like meet at shows? Are you like a pure hardcore baby that owes your entire existence to hardcore?
No, I mean, I think my dad started going when he was early teens, like seven, you'd see 7 Seconds and bands like that. Yeah. And just kept it going from there.
It's fucking awesome. We interviewed another guy. He was in a band called Hereditary from San Diego. And he like got into punk through his like parents who introduced him to punk and stuff. But it's like super cool that your parents were like seeing zero tolerance. I kind of like totally love that about this because I kind of have this theory about like hardcore where like, you know, it's been around for basically like 40 years and kind of the trajectory that I see it on is it's like could easily be around for another 40 years, which basically puts me at 81 years old. So I'm like feeling pretty confident that if nothing else goes right in my life, I'll at least have like some form of hardcore scene to turn to. But I think one of the ways that hardcore really will stick around is, you know, like folks like you who are like coming into this as a second generation. My kids are still a little young to get into hardcore. Like I try to introduce them to like, I don't know, like Bouncing Souls or H2O or something that might be accessible to a 7-year-old. But like my wife and I met basically through hardcore and I kind of want to get my kids into it too at some point so that, you know, if nothing else, I'll get to maybe like check out some new bands that they discover for me if they don't they don't wind up taking care of me when I'm old, which was the original plan of having kids.
It's really just a means to score new music, honestly.
I will say on that, I mean, were you at that show in Buffalo that was like half Josh's and half Gags from around here?
No.
So we have, I mean, a huge resurgence around here, and it's all really, I mean, based on the younger group coming in, even younger than us. I mean, we're all in our mid-20s, but it's a lot of people like high school, early college, 21, that are like really packing it in there.
Yeah, yeah. Rochester is going through like a little bit of a renaissance. I feel like we're like a little behind you guys in Buffalo and Syracuse as far as like really having a post-pandemic upswing. But we've got like some pretty cool new younger bands, and it's just so cool to go out to shows. And every show I go to, I see new people at. I see people I don't recognize from before. You know, really, again, makes me feel like I'm going to have this to look forward to in like another 40 years. So Griffin, you mentioned that you and Ned Flanders were in a previous band. Was that like your first hardcore band, or were you in bands before that? And which band was that?
So that was Volts, which was actually a pop punk band. I've been into hardcore forever, like I said, but I've been playing music for like 10, 15 years. And I grew up in the city of Buffalo, which does not like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a lot of people around here are that interested in punk or hardcore. So a lot of it was like in the suburbs of Buffalo. So I've been trying to start bands with people for years. So joining that band was the first opportunity I had to play live consistently and write music and all that. And then that turned into this, and it's taken off ever since. So it's finally happening.
Nice. And then Owen, is Selfish Act your first band out of the gate, or are you a little more experienced too?
No, this is my first band as well. Same thing with Griffin. I've been trying to fucking find people for years to try and do anything. And it's always like, you know, nobody ever has the motivation. Everybody always says that they want to do it, but they're just like, no, it's hard enough to get people to even like practice. So like, you know, having people that want to show up and actually make something for the first time in my life, it's like, it's kind of crazy.
Awesome. Well, you carry yourself like you've got years more experience than Selfish Act being your first band with your stage presence and your stage antics. So
unfortunately, I was a theater kid.
That explains it all. Yeah. You want all the attention on you. That probably also explains the tattoos too, right?
No, I'm just a degenerate. Yeah, so
can't confirm.
Yeah, no, like my mom got me into theater when I was younger, and I wasn't like good at acting or anything like that, but like, and I've always loved music, so.
Well, no, like definitely it's a good way to get over your stage fright, which sounds like it wouldn't be like a very useful skill to have, but like you can easily apply that to like public speaking and stuff, which is like a huge skill to have that like a lot of people, like they avoid that like the plague. So
also it means like I have the lowest ability to speak ever, but like, you know, being able to just go up there and do the shows on its own is something like I never thought I'd get the chance to do. So, you know, being able to go out there and show off the things that we make and perform in this way and this genre that's like such raw emotion, it's super cool to be able to, you know, get involved in something like this.
Yeah. So Josh just jumped on, which means your kids might be asleep right now. How are you doing, Josh?
Oh, good. I got dog duty because Sarah kind of fell asleep too. I was going to say, Owen, you might not think you're the best public speaker, but you're definitely good at saying the word fuck a lot on stage.
Like I said, I'm a degenerate. I will never not claim that. It's like another thing that might track. I was a line cook.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. If all the things are pointing in the right places right now, then yeah. Like this is, if I say fuck more than five times in a sentence, that's me like being tame.
That's about how many I caught in like 10 seconds at the show I did for you guys the other day. I don't know how long you guys have been talking for already. Sorry, I jumped on a little late.
Someone's going to have to do a counter at the end of this.
Yeah.
a fuck counter.
Oh God.
I'll have to learn how to like put an animation on the video, but I'll figure it out just for you.
I can't count that high. That's the worst part.
I'm going to lose track when I go back and count. But Josh, I wanted to ask you, how was the eclipse for your kids? Did they go nuts for the eclipse, or were they like totally disappointed like mine were?
My son thought it was pretty cool. My daughter got scared when it got dark.
Really?
Yeah. She said she was scared. And that, yeah.
Just like so, ancient times.
Yeah. I thought it was, yeah. I thought it was cool though, even though it was cloudy or whatever, it still was pretty cool.
Yeah. My oldest was like learning about it in school. So he was like kind of excited, but my youngest said it was boring. And I don't think he like knew it was any different than nighttime.
Yeah. I was surprised our kids, behaved so well for it, but yeah, it was cool. How long you guys been doing this for? What did I miss?
We've been talking for like, I don't know, 10 or 15, 20 minutes. Mostly just shooting the shit. Hearing about Griffin's upbringing. He is a second generation hardcore Buffalo hardcore member. So cool to
knew
him.
That.
That's pretty cool. I'm envious. My parents were totally lame. They were old. They were like already old by the time hardcore was invented. So they got me into nothing cool. Tell us a little bit about how Selfish Act came together. I know you guys played your first show like a little less than a year ago, and it seems like you've picked up steam pretty quickly.
Yeah, so basically, you know, through band practices and hanging out, Connor and I realized we both liked hardcore, so we started going to shows together rather than like running into each other at shows. And we were like, why don't we start a hardcore band as a side project? And then we reached out to a few people, and after a couple months, it became the main project because it just took over what we were looking for. The first show was awesome. It was put on by our buddy Jordan, who's in GOA and Juggernaut. It was originally supposed to be Scarfold, World on Fire, Hold Out in Us, but Scarfold had to drop for whatever reason. There's just the other three bands, but still we packed out the basement and it was really a good time. It's all been uphill from there.
Rip Amy's place. Not Amy's place. Timeless Babes. There we go.
Yeah, you were telling me that they kind of fell victim to some not in my backyard type of folks who were perturbed by seeing people with tattoos and fucking heavy metal t-shirts walking down the street. That really sucks because I thought that venue was pretty cool and what they had going was awesome. And we need more places like that, especially around Rochester where, you know, you can consistently have shows month after month that younger kids feel like comfortable coming to and like parents feel comfortable dropping their, you know, 15-year-old off at. So it sucks to see that that's gone. Hopefully something else materializes. You guys have any other like viable DIY venues in Buffalo?
Yeah, there's Amy's place, of course, Area 54. Honestly, I don't think there's too much else going on right now. That might be like the main, there's that Casa di Francesca's in South Buffalo, just like a restaurant. But I think it's mostly been bigger shows down there.
Yeah. Yeah. I always get them confused with that super gaudy restaurant that has like all the statues out in front of it. I think it's like on Transit Road, maybe.
Salvatore's.
Yeah.
Oh God.
How's that for a venue? You book that?
Yeah. Right.
They would probably try and have us arrested.
Don't tip over any statues and it's fine. Be like, this is a statue appreciation, festival. And your venue is the number one venue in the Northeast. So you guys dropped the promo at the beginning of the year. Like, tell us a little bit just about like kind of songwriting. Like, Griffin, are you primarily the songwriter, or is it more like a collaborative approach?
It started off where we've done everything collaboratively. Like, everything's been written in the room, but David and I kind of clicked right away because we like the same sort of hardcore, like that 90s. I'm a little more on the punk side. He's a little more on the metal 90s side, but we met in the middle. So it started off like that. Also, Josh is not like he's not a hardcore guy. So he was just throwing on kind of like these ripping leads over what we are writing. And then that was the start of this. That's how like the songs on the song that's original on the promo came about, as well as the demo. And then we have a newer release that's coming up at some point whenever we can get a label and all that stuff sorted out, where Owen actually just started picking up a guitar and throwing out riffs out there for us, and they stuck and they were cool. So
nice.
That one's a lot more collaborative. But it started off where it was everybody's in the room, but it was still based off like kind of our styles, and then now it's grown into like a little more well-rounded thing for all of us.
Nice. So have you guys already got that recorded? Or are you going into the studio soon to do that?
We have everything ready to go for it.
And we're just waiting for the phone call from Tony Victory now to get you guys a big six-figure deal, right?
Anybody that'll take us, please. We're desperate out here. Please save us. We're hoping that somebody will, you know, help us put it out there, get things rolling. And if not, then we'll just put it out ourselves like we have been and just keep things going.
How many songs you got recorded? And also, where did you go is the other question I'm curious to know.
So this is crazy. I can't remember his band right now off the top of my head. Nate Borman. He's recorded a ton of things in the area, but I'm in GOA as well with Jordan and Mike Jeffers.
Okay.
Long over the summer with Nate, who came to the practice space with his like mobile setup, and he can just rip out songs and they sound amazing. So he came over to my place and did that for the demo, and they came out awesome. People were like, somebody yelled at Owen saying, you're not supposed to have like a mixed mastered thing for a demo. It's like, no, some guy came to our apartment and did this. So we did the same thing for the EP, except we sent it out to have it mixed and mastered by another person, just get some more eyes on it and make it a little more polished.
Yeah. Awesome. How many songs you have recorded for that?
Six.
All right. Six. Okay. So that's like a solid EP. Yep. All right, yeah, cool. We'll keep our eyes peeled for that. So I want to talk about the show on April 18th, cause I want to promote that. Since my band is also playing that show, and that's really what my motivation for promoting the show is. But you guys are playing April 18th in Rochester at Montage, World Purge, Sedition, Surfaced, and Southpaw. Do you have other shows coming up in Buffalo or any out-of-town shows people can catch you at?
Yeah, we have a bunch. So actually, maybe we don't have a ton announced, because I forgot. We're going out this weekend. We're doing two nights in Baltimore, oddly enough.
I saw that on your Instagram, a doubleheader.
Yes. So
it's like one a punk show and one's like a hardcore show or something.
Basically,
it started off, we were supposed to do two nights with our friends in Sin Lung. One of their members runs 1120 Press in Buffalo.
Okay.
And they reached out to us to do DC and Baltimore with them. And then the local band in DC dropped. So the show got folded. But they reached out to some friends in Baltimore and they reached out to us. And so we're kind of doing like a DIY, like smaller hardcore show on Friday, and then like a more traditional, like 21 and up club on Saturday. So that's all happening before this will come out. But we do, we have a weekend coming up, May 3rd, May 4th, we'll be in New Brunswick on May 3rd at Cinco de Mayo with Depressionista Coalition from Rochester. Death Grasp, and maybe there's one more on there. The following night we'll be in State College, PA with Coalition again, and then our friends in Cryptic Rites. So early May, come on out if you live there.
It's good to see Coalition playing some shows out of state too. It's like always fun to see a band from your town in on a flyer for some other place.
Oh yeah. No, they're awesome guys. So they were one of the first choices when we were trying to find another band to come out, you know?
I'll say straight up like 10 out of 10 humans. So.
Yeah. All right, Josh, you got any questions in the chamber that you wanted to fire off?
I don't think we've discussed lyrics yet. What do you got in the lyric department on anything standing out with the new songs or anything on any of the songs in general, Owen?
I kind of go through the process, the process of like writing them, just kind of like, man, what have I like dealt with? And it's just kind of, you know, the same, the demo was more talking along the lines of just like mainly like self-doubt and anxiety and, like Kill Yourself, I love that fucking song. It's just like a fuck you if you're a bigot piece of shit. Versus these, it's more like, okay, I like should probably talk about like dealing with loss a little bit more. Something that I've dealt with a lot in the last few years. So it's like, okay, you know, how am I going to work this and how am I going to talk to it? Sometimes it's like an angry letter to a person. Sometimes it's like, man, how am I going to get through the day? But I don't know. The content kind of varies back and forth, but the end idea of it is, holy shit, I am mentally ill.
Yeah, that's a theme that comes up quite a bit on this podcast, probably because like I'm mentally ill too, and I make everyone talk about how they're mentally ill.
Yeah. You know, you don't get an entire, in the most loving way, we don't get an entire scene of people spin kicking into each other by being, you know, super well adjusted.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've found out now that there's this concept called trauma bonding. And that was like basically how I made all my friends. I didn't know this phrase existed until I was like 39 years old. But you do the trauma dump, you like blurt out all your trauma, and then the people around you that aren't totally offended and have been through a similar experience are like, oh, hey, holy shit, I have like nightmares that won't go away just like that too. And then you become best friends. So you're in good company. So I also wanted to ask a little bit more about just kind of like the current state of Buffalo scene. You know, you guys are really, I'm quite envious of all the stuff you got going on in Buffalo. You got Spaced on Revelation Records now. You got like Snapcase playing occasional shows every once in a while. What do you see as like some up and coming bands, out of Buffalo, out of your area that people from out of town should check out that maybe we haven't heard about yet if we're not, super involved in Buffalo's local scene?
There's Monomaniac, K-Hole, Do Crime,
Jewel Tone.
Fatal Visions put out that earlier.
We just had an interview with Fatal Visions a couple weeks ago. K-Hole, was that one you mentioned? Are they like more like grind or like that variety, or are they just more like straight up hardcore?
They definitely toe the line. There's like some more like punkier like grind elements to it, but they're like a great one because, you know, five hardcore bands is what it is. And then you throw one that's like got a little more of a spin on them, and they're really huge positive impact.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to some shows where it's like thrash plus hardcore or like punk plus hardcore, and I didn't always like mixed bill shows when I was younger, but I like totally appreciate them now because I feel like you get a better audience, you get more crowd participation, you get like more types of people in the audience. And I love bands that kind of like mix sounds. Like we have in Rochester, we have a Debatably Stable, which I know has played Buffalo a bunch, and they like really do the Refused at the Drive-In sound quite well. Plus they're like from my wife's like podunk little hometown in the Finger Lakes, or at least some of their members are. So I feel like super sentimental about them. Tell us a little bit more about like Do Crime, because I think that's a really super cool name. What's like their subgenre of hardcore?
So they're a little more on like the, I would say almost like, they do a Descendants cover. So that's like kind of the easy one to point fingers at, which I know to some where it's like, that's pop punk, but that's that's what hardcore is. Some like melodic hardcore. That features a bunch of cool guys, including Nate, who came in and has done our recordings, and then Torsten, who runs Triple Hammer Records, is singing for that. Derek Dole, who sings in Old Ghosts, and he's playing guitar in that. So, I mean, it's a cool little stacked band of guys who have been around doing cool things for a while.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, we love Derek here in Rochester. So shout out to Derek and every band he's ever done, which is every band he's ever been in has been a fucking great time and something people should check out.
And they have a bunch of cool new songs coming out all the time, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think Kid Dynamite's a good comparison for them, too, I feel like, for Duke. Ooh, yeah. I'm Derek's sorry to cut you off.
I was going to say, Derek's just a funny guy because I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name that we were in Ohio doing a show. Who booked Larry. It? Larry, yes.
Larry and Brent, maybe?
He texts this group chat with bunch of the dudes from Buffalo that's there, and I just go, hey man, let me take that phone real quick. And I don't know who's in the group chat real quick, other than Mark.
Yeah, Mark Miller from Holdout, who we forgot to mention. Holdout's awesome. But
yes.
Sorry.
I just go, can I like have the phone real quick? And I just send him a picture of me flipping off the camera. And Derek just responds with, oh, Owen.
All right, I'll make sure I put my password on my phone when you're around. I can't have
please,
you.
Please, please. I'm a menace with the photos. Half the time we go out. Has anyone ever, you know what a 0.5 photo is? You ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. I love those so much. I'll just walk up to someone and be like, can I have your phone real quick? And I'll take one of those from the most atrocious angle imaginable.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So I guess before we start wrapping things up, I want to make sure we get to any other shout outs that you guys have. We know you guys are looking for a label for your next release. It would be super cool if we could help find a label for you guys, but I'm sure you'll have plenty of luck on your own since you're writing some really solid songs and putting on a great performance. Any other shout outs or plugs that you want to do before we wrap things up?
Yeah, we have in band ones. So I'm in GOA with Jefferson, Jordan, and Rich. We just recorded four songs with Don Fury.
Nice.
Like a couple weeks ago. So those will be coming out at some point. So I'm excited about that. Then Owen and I have another project, which I'll let him talk more about.
Yeah. So we each got a couple things going on. This new thing, I'm going to be doing drums, switching up. Griffin's going to be on guitar still. It's going to be a little more beat downy. It's going to be called Seconds Left, and we're going to be putting out a demo for that mid-May, having a first show around there. So like the best way that I could put it is like imagine Volcano but a band full of queer people and Griffin.
Thanks.
I mean, listen, you're the only straight one in the band, so I'm sorry, bud. It's your coffin. But so we've got that going on. I'm working on something with Logan from Monomaniac, Connor Flanders, and then some of the guys from Pale Hell. And that's going to be more like a 2000s MySpace, I can't turn off the autoplay deathcore. So think like if as Blood Runs Black and like Balmora fucked. That is the idea for that.
I hope you're going to have like Legend of Zelda haircuts that were like big in that scene.
The instant thought that comes to mind. So we have an inspiration playlist, and the picture that I gave the playlist is the good old fashioned black and white studded belt.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was going to say the white studded belt is like another hallmark of that era that should probably stay in that time period unless it's used as a prop for this upcoming band.
Like Running in Place, Crabcore. I need it to be the worst stereotype of the era to ever exist.
Yeah, most of my familiarity with that whole scene though comes from, I don't know if you remember those like pictures that kind of went viral. They were like drawings someone did. It was called like Your Scene Sucks, and it was just like a parody of like every subgenre of hardcore. There was like a dude in a Bane shirt with camo shorts and one of those crabcore bands. I don't know, Josh, this might be more your era. I don't know if this had already like reached its peak by the time you guys were involved.
All I'm saying is that if we have our first shows and I'm not seeing people come up with wristbands up to their elbows and at least three I Heart Boobies bracelets, I'm fucking killing myself right there. Like, what's the point? What's the point if I can't get that crowd?
All right. Well, I'll help you guys out with some publicity. I'll find like a concerned parents group and I'll tell them that your band plays music at rainbow parties.
Yes. Let's go. I'm down. Anyways, so yeah, the name for that is going to be called Vow of Silence.
Okay.
So, we have an Instagram that exists right now. It is just a black black profile picture and no posts, but recording in July with Jay's Bricky for that. I was like, you ever like remember from that era? Nobody ever remembers the demo. They just remember the polished first product that came out. Cause that's what I'm going for. It's just like, hey, here's some finished tracks here.
I was telling my girlfriend the other day, the 90s have been back for a while. It seems like the early 2000s are going to be making a comeback at any point. So you might be jumping on this side right on the right time, I guess. And we'll see.
I grew up having The Cleansing being one of my favorite albums of all time. So like if I can channel that level of angst, we're good.
All right, so I got a follow-up question for you, Griffin, about GOA. Like, when you're ready for the major leagues, do you get a call from, like, Jeffers, who's like, hey, you've been on the farm team long enough, young man, you're coming up to the major leagues now. Is that how did you find your way into GOA?
So he'll tell the story, but, I mean, my parents were friends with him. And when GOA started, like, their first show, they gave my parents, like, a tape, and they gave it to me, and I was, well, I don't know, probably, like, 14 or 15. So, as he put it, I've grown up with the band about a year ago. They've had their struggles with guitar players coming in and out and whatnot. So, about a year ago, I was camping in Allegheny, and I got a message saying, learn 10 GOA songs in 3 days. And I'm like, what does that mean? And then I went down to Discovery on Monday, and I've been doing that with them ever since. So we played a few shows, written a couple songs, and we've been on a few compilations too. We did the Punksgiving one, November. We put the first song that I wrote with them, War All the Time, on there, and then we were just on the Coffin Curse Records No Effects compilation, where we did an old No Effects song from when they were still a hardcore band. And yeah, it's been cool. Those guys have been playing forever, and it's definitely advanced my like playing and confidence as a musician. Because I was, you know, I've been playing forever, but not with people, not in front of others, especially too. So, I know from that first show I played with them in, July of last year to now, it's been a big, big boost to my, like, you know, again, confidence as a musician.
Awesome. So I guess before we pivot to the end and ask you to talk about you know, where people can find you online, I did pull up. Here we go. We got the Brutal Kid. I can't even read this. This is like so old. The pixels are too few pixels from back in the internet days when there were not enough pixels to have fine print. But yeah, we got this guy, and then we got my favorite here. This is who I was, I think, when I was younger. Right down to the sock knees and the Bane t-shirt. So I don't know if I'm in the way here, but
I want to make metalcore for both those guys.
Yeah, they have like one for every subgenre of hardcore and punk you can possibly. They even like go into the deep past and start making fun of ska kids, even though there hasn't been ska kids. They've gone extinct like 20 years ago.
Honestly, that's fine. I associate ska with getting laid off, so you know I can go shit. Without that.
Yeah, I associate ska with the Good Burger soundtrack, and it's funny because the 90s are really popular right now. Like, everyone's wearing baggy jeans and 90s clothes, but no one gives a shit about ska, so that tells you everything you need to know.
Good. You know, the only ska, and I'll say this to my grave, I will firmly accept Goldfinger into my life. Even modern Goldfinger is fine.
Buffalo. I saw them on the first when they were breaking. They played at Water Street. It was like a free show. Like, the local modern rock station put them on. And that was like when that album was first coming out. That Here in Your Bedroom and all that.
Yeah, that's a good one. That takes me back to the day. I'm not gonna lie, I like the Boss Tones. They're all right, even though I know Dickie Barrett's problematic now, and I'll just like totally ruin any air of mystery I have. Less Than Jake is fine with me too. I'll like put that on once in a while.
Whatever that dude's name is. Well, first of all, the drummer from Goldfinger was from Buffalo. He played in, well, I don't know what Buffalo bands, but I remember Sweeper talking about that.
ZT.
He was in Zero Tolerance?
Pretty sure, yeah.
I think so too. I didn't want to speak out of turn, but second of all, that singer of Goldfinger, I want to say, has produced like ridiculous amounts of songs at this point in his life too.
Yeah, I think he's like made a name for himself because he's, I think, done all the like more recent Blink-182 recordings and stuff. Like, he's probably made more money from that
too. I think he does pop stuff too. Like write songs for pop stars. I might be mixing him up with somebody else, but I want to say he's done pop shit too. But you know, everybody's got to make a buck. But
the Interrupters too. They're fun.
That shit's good.
Yeah.
There he is.
There's this guy. This is him right there with his checkered tie.
I know this guy. Tom.
Get away from me.
His name was
Tom.
All right, here you go. This is your target audience right now for your new band, I think, with the
Is she the fucking queen of? Jesus Christ. What is all over her? Her daughter's drawing?
You wouldn't get it.
Are those tattoos?
This is paint, man. It's paint. It's wild.
It's
2006, man.
No, because that's too blood on the
dance floor.
And I feel like, no, I'm gonna be good. I'm not gonna make.
You knew some people from Rochester look like that for a while.
Yeah.
What, Griffin?
Say it.
Listen, that's too blown on the dance floor core. I like being within being allowed to be within 500 feet of schools.
Who's this guy?
This guy's definitely not allowed within 500 feet of schools.
Wait, this is how Owen dressed her first show, though. Take a look at this. He dressed. Find the pictures. He dressed just like this for her first show.
All right, man.
I don't want to talk about that first show. I got.
Wait, go back down. Up, go back down one.
And then I showed up in fucking.
Hold on, let me take a picture of that real quick. It's Tom Zenz. I'm gonna send it to
yes,
a couple people.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Go back up to him.
There you go.
Yeah, right there. All right,
we'll put it back on something more respectable. Okay, where's
all right,
that?
Yeah, and then whatever else you got ahead for questions for you, the shout-outs. Shout-out to ICP. Saw him in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so boom. Okay, so where can people go to find Selfish Act Music? Where can people go to find you guys on social media?
We put everything out on DistroKid, so you can find our music everywhere. We use Spotify, Bandcamp, Apple Music, all that stuff, YouTube. There's also a bunch of live sets that our buddies, Brandon Finnegan, who does Lake Erie Monster, have posted. I'm a big, when I was getting into hardcore, I liked watching videos of bands playing because I think that's the most like natural. So I enjoy watching those. That's also where you see our best, like, you can see us doing what we do and people reacting. We have social media like Instagram. That's it.
I'll say we don't use Twitter. Or X, whatever the fuck you call it, that dead bullshit platform. We might be degenerates, but we're not that big of degenerates. Yeah, you can find us basically anywhere, or don't. You know, that's fine.
We've had some cool pieces. Like if you check it out, No Echo's done something with us.
Yes.
20 Press, UB Spectrum, which is the local.
I did. I saw that when I was Googling around because I was like, I got to ask some questions, got to do a little bit of research, and saw that the UB student paper is on the beat, muckraking, yep. Quality journalism from UB there.
Yeah, the kid who wrote that, Rodrigo, maybe?
Yeah.
He's awesome. We met him at a couple shows. He might be in this picture. Let's see. Is he singing along? He was at the show up front, but anyways, yeah.
Before we finish this up, I know I jumped on late. Did it get mentioned at all that we're recording this the day the world found out that O.J. Simpson died?
Yes, there were a few off-color jokes about,
I figured.
A crime that O.J. Simpson did not commit, at least as far as the state of California is concerned.
I just can't believe this man took it to his grave and was like, nah. Nah,
I was doing the math at dinner tonight. I was like, yeah, he lived like 40% of his life.
Honestly,
getting away
with that shit. He was CTE's strongest soldier, so he might have actually like believed he didn't do it at that point. Enough hits to the head, you'll do anything.
Yeah. I couldn't believe when I saw it today, though, but I was just like, man, I can't believe he lasted that long after everything. Nobody popped him or whatever. But
like one of the first things I got texted today was, oh, and you died today? Because my last name is Jones. So I unfortunately get called Juice OJ far too often. So it's, you know, one less thing I got to deal with in life now.
Yeah, I know it's hard for Buffalo because he played for the Bills, but it's a weird, you know, it's like celebrating Chris Benoit after the fact, you know?
Oh, man, his death affected me profoundly because people would always be like, they wouldn't know how to pronounce my last name because my last name is Benoit, spelled and pronounced just the same as Chris Benoit. So I'd be like, hey, man, my last name is Benoit, just like the wrestler. And then he goes and like murders his whole family. And now I can't do that. Now,
you're like,
now
just like, don't.
All right. It's just like that guy, you know.
Yeah, that wrestler who murdered his family. I do say that sometimes when I'm in company that will appreciate an off-color dark joke, but.
In the right, not in a library convention, not with a bunch of librarians.
No, definitely not. Got to keep it professional.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you guys dropped all the information about the socials and shit. Is there any other shout outs or anything? Shout out to Gags, obviously. Buffalo.
Shout out to Gags. Shout out everybody in fucking Buffalo hardcore that gives a fuck and shows up. You guys are awesome. Like, there's some people that really are just at fucking everything, and the people that put on, they give a fuck about, you know, making sure everybody's feeling involved. I work dumb and forget a lot of people just in general, but like, if you're involved with Buffalo hardcore and you know who you are, we love you. And if you play a show and you're from Buffalo, you can't hide from us. That's apparently the only thing. David being over in Europe, if you're playing a European tour, it's fucking over for you.
He went to go see Pure Heel and Buried Alive. He went to go see Spaced. Yeah. They tried to get away.
You just can't escape us. I'm in your walls.
They wouldn't know how to pronounce my last name because my last name is Benoit, spelled and pronounced just the same as Chris Benoit. So I'd be like, hey, man, my last name is Benoit, just like the wrestler. And then he goes and like murders his whole family. And now I can't do that. Now,
you're like,
now
just like, don't.
All right. Just like that guy, you know.
Yeah, that wrestler who murdered his family. I do say that sometimes when I'm in company that will appreciate an off-color dark joke, but.
In the right, not in a library convention, not with a bunch of librarians.
No, definitely not. Got to keep it professional.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you guys dropped all the information about the socials and shit. Is there any other shout outs or anything? Shout out to Gags, obviously. Buffalo.
Shout out to Gags. Shout out everybody in fucking Buffalo hardcore that gives a fuck and shows up. You guys are awesome. Like, there's some people that really are just at fucking everything, and the people that put on, they give a fuck about, you know, making sure everybody's feeling involved. I work dumb and forget a lot of people just in general, but like, if you're involved with Buffalo hardcore and you know who you are, we love you. And if you play a show and you're from Buffalo, you can't hide from us. That's apparently the only thing. David being over in Europe, if you're playing a European tour, it's fucking over for you.
He went to go see Pure Heel and Buried Alive. He went to go see Spaced. Yeah. They tried to get away.
You just can't escape us. I'm in your walls.
The Hardcore Archive Podcast is Josh Lyons and Greg Benoit with creative support from Rob Antonucci.
This podcast is a product of the Rochester Hardcore community. Theme song provided by Stand Fast.
Visit Hardcore Archive Podcast on Linktree to listen to past episodes.
Follow Hardcore Archive Podcast and Enterprise Hardcore Podcast on Instagram for updates.
If you have an idea for an episode or would like to have your band's music featured during the closing credits, please contact us at hardcorearchivepodcast@gmail.com.